The passage that Terry read is not actually the text that I'm going to preach from, although it contains the last verse, which is. It told about the boy Samuel. And it's an interesting story, and it's three times the Lord spoke to him and he didn't know it. You know, he did not know the Lord was speaking to him. And that can be the way with us sometimes. And that's why I wanted to emphasize this message. And the title of it is called The Discipline of Listening. And the reason I use the word discipline is because it's not because the idea you're being disciplined, but the idea that we do things out of sometimes a habit so that we get into a good habit. And it's a discipline that we do these things so that they become a habit in our lives. And so when we think of the Lenten season, we think of a little bit more like a discipline. It's sometimes fasting. For me, it ended up being, I shared today in our prayer time with the rest of the team that the Lord didn't give me something to give up this time. He gave me four words, and boy, let me tell you, those words are bigger than anything that I can give up. And because I didn't know what they meant at first, at our service at Arcade Wesleyan, where they had a Lenten service, an Ash Wednesday service, we were supposed to write on a card something. Well, I didn't have a card. I don't know why I didn't get one, but I took a sheet out of my notebook here that I always carry. People wonder why I carry some stuff around with me. Because I carry it around because I got everything there. I got my flashlight in case the lights go off in here, which happened one time. But on my little sheet of paper, I thought, what am I going to write? I don't know what to give up, and I don't know what the Lord's dealing with in my life. But the Lord knew what He was dealing with in my life. So He put, stop. Begin, continue, and finish. And I didn't. And then we were supposed to go up to the front and take some, like they used to put cross on the forehead. You put a little thing on on that little sheet of paper, and then you keep it someplace in your Bible or something where you will remember what the Lord showed you, and you're supposed to be thinking about during Lent. Well, this was big for me. So. Maybe I'll have some stories about it. Right now it has to do with clutter in my life. Get rid of it. Stopping the clutter and start getting rid of it. Yeah. Well, anyway, Samuel was listening. He was learning how to listen to he didn't quite get it first. I mean, three times the Lord spoke to him. He did not get it. And it was a stretch for him. It was a stretch because he'd never heard that before. He'd never heard God speaking to him. That was a stretch. But he finally caught on because he had a posture of receptivity. It was he learned a new posture of heart, an attitude that we all must have if we're going to hear the word of the Lord, in ourselves. And we see this attitude in verse 10. I'll read it again. The Lord came and stood there, calling as at the other times, Samuel, Samuel. Then Samuel said, and here's the attitude, here's the posture of heart that he had. Speak, Lord, for your servant is listening. Speak, Lord, for your servant is listening. Now the text that I'm going to talk from isn't the first verses, it's the next verses, starting with verse 10. And I want to read those right now, because basically it deals with us being the messengers of what the Lord shares with us. In other words, He wants we need to speak for God. We have to listen from God, but we have to speak for God, and we can't speak for God until we have heard from God. So we need to learn this idea of listening. And so, as we enter into this Lenten season of sort of a discipline time, this is like a little bit of a stretch, just like it was for Samuel. It's a little bit of a spiritual exercise of our spirits to learn how to listen to God and then to learn how to speak for God and share with others what God has shown. That's a spiritual stretch for a lot of people. And that's why I've got this title, The Discipline. It's a discipline. It's a stretch for some people. It's an exercise. And the first step in this exercise of the discipline of listening is, the first stretch in sharing with others is the discipline of listening. We gotta have something to share. And this exercise of hearing from God is a real exercise. It's a real practice that we must develop in order to speak for Him. I want to read the rest of the verses then in Samuel 10 through 19. Nine more verses about this. Now the Lord came and stood there, calling at that other time, Samuel, Samuel. And Samuel said, "Speak, for your servant is listening." And the Lord said to Samuel, "See, I'm about to do something in Israel that will make the ears of everyone who hear it tingle. At that time I will carry out against Eli everything I spoke against his family, from beginning to end. For I told him that I would judge his family forever because of the sin he knew about. His sons made themselves contemptible, and he failed to restrain them. Therefore, I swore to the house of Eli, the guilt of Eli's house will never be atoned for by sacrifice or by offering." Samuel lay down until morning and then opened the doors of the house of the Lord. He was afraid to tell Eli the vision. But Eli called him and said, "Samuel, my son." Samuel answered, "Here I am." "What was it he said to you?" Eli asked. "Do not hide it from me. May God deal with you, be it ever so severely, if you hide anything from me he told you." So Samuel told him everything, hiding nothing from him. Then Eli said, "He is the Lord. Let him do what is good in his eyes." The Lord was with Samuel as he grew up, and he let none of his words fall to the ground. Wow. You know, before we get into what this message was to the house of Eli, I want to talk a little bit about this idea of God speaking to an unprepared person. You know, I've heard a lot of sermons about, you must be prepared for God to use you. Well, Samuel wasn't prepared, but God spoke to him anyway. And, you know, he knew that Eli was a prophet. He was a priest, but he was also a prophet. And he probably felt, you know, if God has something to say, well, he's going to speak to Eli, and then we'll know what God is saying, you know. And we may have that kind of reasoning, too. If God wants to say something, he'll talk to Terry and Terry will tell us. Or he'll do it through the preacher. Or I can turn on the radio and hear Chuck Swindoll, and he'll really tell you what God is saying. And you say, we can trust in these other people? That's true. Sometimes God does speak to them, and that's how we do it. But it's not the answer. God does speak to unprepared people. He does. And he shows this example in Samuel. Samuel had no prior preparation for hearing God speak. Even though he was in the house of God, and he served in the house of God. And you know, you can come to church and be a churchgoer all your life and still not be prepared in this discipline of listening. And you might think, well, it's easier to recognize what God is saying from David's sermon. That's much easier than hearing it from God myself. But how do you think I get it? I have to open the Word and ask the Lord, what are you showing us here? And that's where the rubber meets the road. And that's where it has to meet the road for all of us as we listen, learning to listen to the Word. So it's not always that God's going to speak to you in this message about what clearly is for you in specific sometimes. Now, Samuel didn't even know the Lord very well. It says that. He didn't even know the Lord's voice. He didn't know God that much. Eli knows God, but I'm serving God, but I don't know the Lord that well. And, you know, we might think that I've never heard God speak like that. I think you have, and maybe not didn't know it, just like Samuel heard it three times, and he didn't know it. So there might have been a lot of times where God was speaking to you, and he even pull a little string on the inside of your heart and said, you better hold on to that. And you thought, I think I better hold on to that thought. and he was speaking to you, and you held on to the thought. But he doesn't, this is the point, he doesn't have to wait until we're prepared. Oh, I've gone to Bible college, or I've done a lot of study, I took that crash course on listening to the voice of the Lord. Now I can hear the Lord. No, that's not, you may take the crash course, and you still may not hear from him. Because he may not speak to you just because of that course. He says, I'll just wait until he's not thinking about that course because I can't speak that way to him. I have to do it another way. And then God speaks to that person. So God speaks to us, not just to strengthen our relationship with him. That's a lot of times what we think. We sort of become spiritually ingrown. We think just about ourselves. And we don't think necessarily about those around us may need God's voice too. They may need to hear a message from God, and they're not listening either. And so somebody has to be listening for them to get God's word. If we want to be his messengers, if we want to be ambassadors for his kingdom, then we're going to have to hear from him. And learning to hear the voice of the Lord, it doesn't require years of preparation as it didn't with Samuel. It doesn't like, I don't have much life left. I mean, here I am in my 80s or 90s, and I don't know how many years left I have to take one of these crash courses on listening to the voice of God. You don't have to. God can start today, and he probably already has. We may not be aware of it. This is the attitude that Samuel had. Speak, Lord, for your servant is listening. That's all the preparation he needed. It's an attitude of heart. It is a listening ear. That you've got a posture of receptivity in your heart. And you're ready and willing. Now, you might think it's something else. But then a guy like me will come along, like Eli, and say, hey, next time just say, speak, Lord, for your servant is listening. And then you'll know it's the Lord's word. And if it happens, it may be the Lord's word for you. We can't speak for God to share it with other people if we haven't heard ourselves. Now, God did something else with Samuel. He spoke at an unpredictable time. And God will use unpredictable times. It's not uncommon for God to speak during a church service. That's planned. We planned out a church service. I planned out a message. I'm finding this. I planned out this message so that I could hopefully get some knowledge to you. And it's all planned out. And so we think, well, it's all planned out for me. And we think that's the time. Or I have my daily devotions. And mine is usually when I get up. And I get up in the afternoon if I've worked all night. Or I get up in the morning if I had a night off. And that's the time that I get a cup of coffee. And I haven't given up coffee for Lent this time. I get up a lot of other stuff. And I get the Bible open, and let me tell you, sometimes it's just opening the Word or a devotional book, and God begins to minister to me. And those are times of receptivity that are planned. But you know what? God is known for scheduling his times for talking with us at inconvenient times. I mean, times when we're trying to sleep and all of a sudden, or a dream that we wake up out of, we know it's from the Lord. Or maybe we're at work doing something and we're busy and we have stuff to take care of and the Lord starts speaking to us. And he said, uh-oh, I don't know. You know, I've told you, I've written a lot of poems. I don't know if I've told you this, but when a poem comes to me, it's like labor. I can't say, oh, I can't be bothered with labor right now. Of course, I'm not a girl, but when I'm a poet, and poets give birth to poems, okay? And so I'm saying, I don't have time for that right now, but Lord, it's right there. I got to write it down. No matter what I'm doing, no matter what's happening, I got to write it down. And sometimes if I'm in my devotional time, what started out to be a devotional time ends up like a three-hour thing of writing this poem out. And Rosemary says, what are you doing, writing a poem? She knows. She comes by and says, you haven't stopped your devotional time. What are you doing, writing a poem? Because something came. And I had to give birth to you. You just don't say, labor, come back later. You know, it doesn't happen that way. You have to give birth. And so God, and it's, oh, let me tell you, have you ever, no, this happens a lot. I don't know what happens to you, but you're not doing anything. You're just maybe shaving or doing something in the bathroom. And you're in the bathroom. You're doing personal care issues. And the Lord starts speaking to you. Have you ever had that happen? I have had it happen. I have had it happen. So, inconvenient times, unprepared times, times were unpredictable. And you're not prepared. And God speaks. He has a habit of it. Now, why did He do that? I think there's a reason God is spontaneous like that. You ever heard of serendipity? Learning, discovery things just from just quick things like that, and you learn and discover something. And I think it's because we're not planning anything. You see, if we get our minds churning about something, and then we can sort of like, it's coming a slow message here over the last 5 weeks, and you know, I'm starting to hear something about that. Then we can deliberate. Then we can start maybe tweaking a little bit and say, well, that could change there, and that could and we start doing stuff to this revelation of God to us. But when He surprises us and we're unprepared, like we say, oh, wow, that's like out of the blue. And that's it. God wants us to know it is out of the blue. It's from heaven. And it's not something we thought up. It's something He wanted us to know. Out of the blue it came to me. A lot of stuff we say comes to us out of the blue. And you know that expression, I never knew what that meant until I realized. It means it came out of heaven, out of the blue. You know, when people say that. Well, anyway, God spoke to Samuel in the dark of the night. And He spoke to him while he was sleepy. And, you know, this parallels something in the life of Israel. Israel was in a very dark spiritual time. And they had fallen into a spiritual stupor. They were not listening and they were sleepy in their spirituality. It says in verse 1 of this passage, in those days the word of the Lord was rare. Not many people were hearing the word of the Lord. And it says there were not many visions. People were not seeing spiritual stuff. And that was the time of that day, but let me tell you, that's the time of today too. When people are and our world is in a spiritual darkness, and it keeps on going in that direction. And some people say, well, God is silent. God is silent. But that's not the case for Christians. That should not be the case for Christians. I want to read what happened on the day of Pentecost, and we're not getting into the Pentecost season, but I want to tell you, the Holy Spirit was supposed to do something by showing up. And it has to do with what we're talking about today. In Acts chapter 2, verse 17 and 18, here's what it says. And when Peter was explaining to the people, what is this thing called the Holy Spirit? What's happening here? All this hubbub about the Holy Spirit. And he said, in the last days, God says, I will pour out my Spirit on all people. Your sons and daughters will prophesy. Your young men will see visions. And your old men will dream dreams. Even on my servants, both men and women, I will pour out my Spirit in those days, and they will prophesy. In other words, the Holy Spirit will be poured out on Christians in general, not just a few. Not just an Eli here, a Samuel there, a David there, and you know, a different people from Bible characters in the Old Testament. In the New Testament, it's supposed to be all of us. On your sons and daughters, on your old men and on your men and women, the Spirit poured out so that we'll all speak. All of us speak. So God's Holy Spirit is holy. And when the Holy Spirit comes, Holy Spirit empowers us to live a holy life. But it's not just about a holy life. And we think about that during Lenten time, about living a holy life. But it's not just about a holy life. It's to give us a holy message. It's so that we will have a holy word to share with others. But we can't speak until we listen. And we need to develop this lifestyle of listening. A lifestyle of receptivity to the Lord. You know, it's great to have people around like an Eli who know about hearing from the Lord. and that can give us some direction and guidance. But you know, Eli couldn't listen for Samuel. Samuel had to hear for himself. And a lot of times we want others to listen for us. And sometimes we'll pray about that and say, pray for me. I have a decision. I need guidance. And we'll pray for somebody else to pray for us. But they can't hear for us. They can't hear our guidance. And we need to be having this attitude of listening, this posture of receptivity, so that not just during our quiet times, or not just at church service, but that we'll be listening whenever serendipity happens. Whenever it just bang, out of the blue, and it's like, wow. And I'll just give you an illustration in my life how that works. The thing that happens with me a lot of times is a person will come to my mind. And this is out of the blue. I have no way of remembering any way of connecting that issue. This person just came out of my... It happened to me recently. And I didn't do anything with it. It just came out of the blue. And I didn't do anything with it. And the next day, I was doing something else, and that person's face and the situation came up, and I knew I needed to pray for that person. I said, Lord, I don't know what, that has no connection, I have no way of getting in touch with that person, but I said, I don't know what you're doing in their life, but for me to remember all of that right now, and to know the hurt that must be in that person's heart from what happened to them, I don't know. Maybe they're still suffering under that. Lord, would you set them free? And so I prayed that prayer. That is God speaking and wanting us to do something about what He's sharing. And He did it to me twice, so that's really good. But it's not just during our times of preparing. It's basically when we're not prepared. When it's an unpredictable time. And then God gives us a message sometimes that's an unpopular message. It's not a popular message. And God may reveal to us sometimes uncomfortable truths that are dark, like this dark message about Eli and his family. Now, the situation with Eli is that he spoke to Samuel about it, but he'd already spoken to Eli, and Eli hadn't listened. And what it was that his sons had become priests. Eli was older. And his sons had become priests, and they were just fleecing the people. They were terrible. They were committing adultery. They were doing all these things, and they were being priests, supposedly. And they would steal from the people. And God came to Eli and told him to just make them stop, and he didn't say anything about it. He just let it go. So this message was a message that was a little bit hard for Samuel to share, because here it's Eli. It's a message about Eli. He's my sort of like my boss, you know. He's the one that's teaching me spiritual things. That was a hard message, but this first revelation that was given to this little boy Samuel set the course for his life and the rest of his ministry, because Samuel was given many good things to share, good news and bad news to share with shepherds and with kings, for all these people. And you know what? God said he never let a word fall from his mouth that went to the ground. It always worked. It always was carried itself out, whatever word he said, because he was faithful. Now, Eli was not faithful, and God was taking away the mantle and away from Eli and putting it on Samuel, the spiritual mantle of being a prophet. And God may give us difficult things to share with someone, but we must trust His wisdom if He gives those things for us to share. And you know, I'm going to have to tell you what this might feel like to you. It might feel like you've got a feeling that you put your hand in the cookie jar, and you know you shouldn't have been in there. You know, when you were a kid, and you shouldn't have been in the cookies, but you were. And you had that awful feeling like, I better tell Mama. I should tell. I should explain it. And you know, it's almost like you get a feeling, I need to tell that person something, but I don't want to. It's a hard message for them to hear. I know they need to hear it, but I don't want to tell them. And we deliberate about it. And then God brings it to us again. And we feel that feeling. it's like my hand's in the cookie jar, and I need to tell Mama. And it's like, I need to tell that person. I need to tell that person something, and I don't know. I don't know how to do it. Help me, Lord. And then a lot of times you just have to do it. I think you've all been through those kinds of situations. You know, if you didn't say anything, it could be much, much worse. You know, Jesus was had that kind of a situation where he had some knowledge. And, you know, it was the Samaritan woman at the well. God revealed to Jesus that she had had five husbands and that the man she was living with was not her husband. Now, what kind of message is that on a first meeting of somebody? Hey, you've had five husbands and you're not even married to the one you're living with right now. Oh, well, that's a way to get across. But did you know that what he said right there drew that woman to Christ? He said, you must be a prophet. That's the truth. You must be a prophet. And she began a discourse on spiritual things that led to her conversion. And then she went and told other people and brought them out so that they could find out about Jesus. You know, if we hear something like that, you know, it's not pleasant. It's not pleasant to talk about sin, and it's not pleasant to talk about the consequences of sin. But if we are associated with the person that God wants to communicate with, and we're maybe the closest person that could actually hear from him and communicate with them, then we are very, very crucial to the situation. And God would not give us something in his wisdom. He would not give us something that we shouldn't share if he wants us to share it. There is a reason. There is a reason. And I really believe God was giving one more opportunity to Eli to get things settled with him. I believe that that was really what God was trying to do. Somebody forgot to set their clocks forward. All right. Okay. Yeah, some of us almost didn't do it last night. So when we look at this situation, if that came up to us, and let me tell you, eventually those kinds of things do come up. If you haven't experienced them, then you certainly will at some time in your life. That God wants you to share an uncomfortable message with somebody, and you don't necessarily want to do it, but God wants you to do it. Will we be like Samuel? Will we be faithful? What if he shares that with us? Will we be faithful like Samuel was, the little boy? You know, God is love. And love communicates. Whenever there's no communication, love breaks down. But if God initiates the conversation, if God is the one who initiates, it's because he wants to share truth with us. And if he wants to share truth with us, it may also be a truth for someone else too. We've got to think about that thing of sharing. We won't be able to speak for God until we've listened to him. And as faithful believers, I'm just emphasizing that we need to practice this discipline of listening, having a posture of receptivity, and always ready to say, no matter what the situation, no matter what prediction, no matter how prepared we feel, to say this: speak, Lord, for your servant is listening. Let's pray. Father God, this is a message that is a great message, Lord, that stretches us spiritually. Because, Lord, it's hard for us to think about being a spokesman for you, especially when we don't know what you want us to say. But, Lord, I pray that you will help us in this discipline of listening, getting our hearts in an attitude of listening, and begin to listen to your voice and hear your voice in various ways so that we can share that with others. We pray in Jesus' name, amen.